and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out to Jerusalem. Verse 17, again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. And now Zechariah sees something in verse 18. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there was four horns. And I said to the angel who talked to me, what are these? So he answered me and said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And then the Lord showed me four carpenters. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could lift up their head. But the carpenters are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah, to scatter it. So here's the scene. God has just made a big promise to rebuild and to restore Jerusalem. But Zechariah sees this vision of four horns before him. And these aren't just any horns. These are powerful, they're aggressive forces that have come to scatter and that have come to tear apart. This is the enemy at work. But God doesn't leave his people there for the enemy to have his way with them. He shows Zechariah four carpenters who are coming to rebuild. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is lift up your eyes. Because God's about to send some carpenters to rebuild what has been scattered in your life and mine. So point number one, there comes a time when there's the power of scattering. The time will come. And so let's break down these four horns. What are they? Well, of course, in the Bible, the horns symbolize power, but not just any power. Like I said before, they're aggressive, they're unrelenting, they have destructive power. Demonic forces have destructive power. And these horns have come with one purpose, and that's to scatter, and that's to tear apart. They came to make the people of Israel defeated, so that they couldn't lift up their heads. They want to have them hang their heads down low. You ever been there? Where you just felt life was defeating you, you just wanted to hang your head low. Wasn't necessarily anything you did in particular. It's just that life has beat you up. And so I just want to ask you, how many times have you felt like you've been knocked down, drug around by the horns of life, to where those horns of life just leave you hanging your head low? Where you've been dealing with things that seem just too big to overcome at times. Whether it's financial struggles, whether it's health issues in your life, whether it's family problems or personal doubts that have come up, it just seems to linger on and on and on relentlessly. I mean, we all go through those seasons. Or life seems to be coming at us full force, like those horns. They're just trying to scatter us, make our lives feel scattered, create anxiety in us. It's relentless. It wears you down, and it leaves you thinking, am I ever going to make it through this? Now, here's where we need to pause, and we need to really acknowledge this and think about this and lean in, because life is hard. And sometimes it feels like the odds are overwhelmingly stacked against us. And I'm sure the people of Israel felt that same way. 70 years in captivity. Imagine that. Imagine the toll it took on these people that were uprooted from their culture, placed in another one for 70 years. Imagine as you're marching off, looking back at the ruins of your city, your family, in your hopes, thinking, how are we ever going to rebuild from this? I tell you what, the enemy's goal is to always get you to look down. especially as a believer. If he can get you to look down, he's accomplishing his goal, because he wants you to keep focusing on your brokenness, your pain, and your failures that are going on in your life. And that's the strategy, so that we'll become so distracted by the mess that we can't even see the future that God's doing in our lives, because we're so distracted of what's going on. But God's strategy is different. He says, lift up your eyes in times of trouble. So we look forward. We look upward. We lift up our eyes, just like we sang this morning. Because God's word tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 121, verses 1 through 8, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, and he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will never slumber. I know a lot of you that didn't sleep well last night because of the time change, but just know that God's up awake too, watching over you. He will never slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, and the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And then finally in verse 8, the Lord will guard your going in and coming out from this time forth and forever. Amen and amen for those promises. The psalmist's question is, where does my help come from? It wasn't about doubt. He wasn't afraid of, what am I going to do? Where's my help come from? This was about his confidence. He's writing about his confidence. He knew exactly where his help came from. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Even in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, it says, he is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, encourages us and gives us confidence that he is our help in trouble. Even in Matthew, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus himself says, come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been on a plane, for those of you who have ridden on a plane, have you ever been on the plane when it's going through rough turbulence? I mean, it feels like the whole plane's going to fall apart. You hear the rattling of the insides, and it's enough to make you want to grip your armrest on your chair like a vice grip, like that's going to help. But boy, you grip that thing really tight. But up ahead, the pilot, he stays focused on his instruments. He trusts his training and what he went through, knowing that the storm won't last forever. They'll fly through it eventually. And that's how we need to trust God, by keeping our eyes on him, knowing that he will get you and I through the storm that we're going through. That's how we need to trust God, by keeping our eyes on him. It's not going to last forever. There's a beginning time and an end time. And Psalms 121 that we just looked at, the scriptures, it says life's not going to be easy. But it does say that God has our backs. He's got your back. Verse 4 of Psalms 121 says, he never sleeps. You might be exhausted, you might be worn out, but he isn't. Psalms 121 verse 5 says, he is our shade. He's watching over us, even when we don't even notice. And that's the thing about shade. It may be a hot day, but when you reach some shade from a tree, you feel it. It's a big difference. And then Psalms 121, 7 through 8, he guards our every step from beginning to end. He's got us covered. He's got me covered. He has you covered. You ever watch a dad at a playground with his kid? The kid thinks he's all on his own. He's climbing, he's running, he's jumping up, he's climbing on all kinds of playground equipment. But that father, if he's a good father, he's got his eyes locked on his kid, at least most of the time. And if his child stumbles, then the father's right there in a heartbeat to pick the child up. And in some cases, catch the child. I mean, just go to YouTube and search for Dad Saves Kids videos. You'll get a kick out of some of them. Some of them will leave your mouth hanging open. It's like, are you kidding me? And it's just amazing. It's really, really fun to watch those things, how much a dad will rush in and save his kid from some impending accidents that they could have. Well, that's God, and He's always watching us, always there ready to catch us. And so God's strategy is for us to always lift up our eyes in times of trouble, if we'll look upwards. I mean, the child is a perfect example of that. If a child stumbles on the ground, scrapes their knee, what do? Well, of course, they rub their knee and they cry, but they always look up towards you to comfort them, to lift them up, and to hug them, and to give them comfort. Always to lift up our eyes in times of trouble, to look upward. On January 17th of this year, I lost my full-time job of 29 years. And for the first time in my life, I felt completely off guard and defeated. I did not see it coming. I had a feeling, and God was preparing me, but I did not know it would actually happen. Because I built a career that took care of both me and my family for over 29 years. Raised my girls. It was a good job. It was good to me. So I have nothing bad to say about that or them. And then out of nowhere, the department in which I worked for decided to change their department and restructure their methods, resulting in my termination. And so that day, I felt like my whole world was scattered. I remember after the Zoom meeting where they did it, I just stared at my computer screen thinking, what now? What now? And for days and weeks, I was just focused on my problem. I'd wake up at 3 a.m. thinking, I don't have a job. I don't have something to wake up to and go to. What am I going to do? I thought, I'll never find another job at my age. And I'm really not ready to retire. That was me looking down and panicking, caught in that mess. I mean, the enemy had achieved his goal. To get me to look down. So maybe some of you can even relate, especially from the crazy things that are happening here lately. Because He wants you to keep focused on your brokenness. He wants you to keep focused on your pain and on your failures. But you know what? When I finally looked up, I began to see things around me, perhaps maybe that I'd missed earlier, because I was so consumed in looking at the ground. It's not always easy as I continue to look for full-time employment, but it's different now because instead of being frantic, I'm now at peace. Remember when we talked about that about a month ago? I had the banners going around throughout the congregation. That peace is an incredible gift from God. And the moment I decided to lift up my eyes, while even in the face of uncertainty, it changed everything. Now I don't wake up at 3 a.m. with panic attacks, anxiety attacks. Because God has given me a song in my spirit to minister to me. Matter of fact, we sang it earlier this morning in worship. The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee, He's mighty, so mighty. And what a great comfort when we lift our eyes up and we're able to sing in worship. And every time I would start to fret, worry, or anxiety, that song would come into my spirit and would minister to me. And so we continue to pursue, to push through with the assurance by faith, knowing that God is working in our situation, on our situation, and through our situation, just like He does for you. So point number one, the power of scattering can be startling, shake you to your core. But then point number two is the promise of restoration. God doesn't just leave His people in despair. The vision of Zechariah doesn't just end with those horns and the scattering they do to the Israelites. No, God shows that there are carpenters coming. Those who come to rebuild what the enemy has managed to tear down. And so here's the good news. God's not just about the scattering, but He's about restoring as well, to rebuild those that are new. The carpenters represent the work of God in your life. When things feel scattered and God steps in with those carpenters in your life and mine. And they can either be people in your life, they can be situations in your life which God is arranging to rebuild and restore you. All of those things God is working behind the scenes. God steps in, not just to put back things together, but to build something stronger than before. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 16 reminds us that I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. That's what we need to focus on. That mercy that God gives us. Even times when we feel that we perhaps may have failed, even when it seems that we have lost everything, God's mercy is there and just bringing restoration. So how does this restoration happen? Well, let me tell you, it starts when you and I begin to lift up our eyes. It starts when you and I decide that we're not staying here in this pit. We're going to look to God and we're going to trust that He can rebuild my life. And when Zechariah saw those carpenters in that vision, he saw what God was doing behind the scenes. Because he had the four horns scattering, but then behind that he saw the carpenters coming. You may not see it right now, but trust me. God's carpenters are at work. And when you and I choose to trust Him, to look up, and not stay in that brokenness, that is when the restoration begins. Sure, challenges come with life. We all know that. But they don't need to define your life. Help is on the way. There are those who you have seen and I have seen walking towards you, and they look like they're in a circus. They've got so many monkeys of despair crawling all over them and climbing all over them. They're enough to make you want to quickly dash over into the next aisle to avoid them when you see them at the grocery store. Why? Because they've let their challenges define them. Again, challenges come with life. But they do not need to define you or your life, because help is on the way. You remember the story of the prodigal son. The guy had it all. He had everything. But of course, we all read and know that he squandered it. He ended up in the lowest of low places, feeding pigs and broken and lost. But there was a moment when he lifted up his eyes. And when he did that, in that moment, everything changed because he didn't stay in the pit. He remembered his father's house. And when he turned back, he was met with mercy from the father. His father didn't scold him or remind him of his failures. No, what did the father do? Run toward him with open arms. And God's restoration is like that in our lives. When you and I choose to look up When you and I have decided that we've had enough of that pit, God's right there to restore you. He's not there standing with his hands on his hips saying, "I told you so." He's there to restore us. He's not waiting to condemn you. He's waiting to rebuild you. Get your head up. Get your faith up. Get our vision up. God has not forsaken you or your family. Well, think about it. For the first 30 years of his life, Jesus wasn't raised in the priesthood. He was raised where? At home, in a carpenter's home. And the last 3 years of his life, when he started doing his miracles, before that, he had worked in his house with his father in a carpentry business. And as a carpenter, he was rebuilding broken things. He was restoring old furniture. He was making all things new. And the people said of him, when they saw him doing those miracles, "Isn't that Joseph, the carpenter's son?" You see, carpentry has always been God's remedy to restore and rebuild the scattering and the dividing and the discouraging of God's people. Jesus showed up with the spirit of the builder when he came. And he said, "I've got all the tools I need to rebuild." To rebuild marriages. To rebuild any family. To rebuild any nation. To rebuild any people who will turn to me. Because what? I have 3 nails, 1 hammer, and 2 beams. And if you look up, lift up your eyes and look up and focus on my love for you, then restoration will come. And that remedy, the spirit of the carpenter, Jesus Christ, who has come to rebuild broken lives, to restore broken families, broken marriages, to rebuild broken relationships. So I want to ask you this. What are the horns in your life right now? What's scattering you? What's making you restless at night? What's got you down, discouraged, and just ready to throw in the towel? Here's the encouragement. It doesn't have to stay that way. It's time to look up. It's time to lift your eyes to the hills from where our help comes from. God's restoration is available to both you and me today. The power of looking up when everything seems scattered. It can bring us peace, like none other, through the work that he's doing behind the scenes to rebuild the enemy what is torn apart. When Kisha, during praise today, invited us to the altar, I thought, okay, here we go again, God. And then I went up to the altar and I knelt down because I have resolved in myself that when there is an invitation to come to the altar to worship the Lord thy God, who takes care of us, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, I've resolved to never take that opportunity lightly again, because we all pray. And like she said, you can have your altar in your seat if you're uncomfortable. But I like the power of feeling uncomfortable, because that's when the Spirit moves, is when you step outside of your comfort zone and step out on faith. And that was for me. That's for me. I'm not putting this on you at all. But that's for me, to worship at the altar. So before we finish today, I want to talk to you a word, and I want you to think about your own life for a moment. What are the areas in your life, perhaps, that feel broken or scattered, or maybe they're just in total disarray? What times have you been knocked down where you felt like you've hit rock bottom? or when you felt that the world's just coming at you full force from every angle. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your career, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your faith, like I mentioned earlier. Maybe it's one of those things, maybe not, maybe it's something totally different. But whatever it is, I just want to ask you, are you ready to let God do the work of restoration? Are you willing to just stop looking down at the mess you're in and start looking up to where your help comes from? Because God's in the business of rebuilding. And the carpenters, they're coming. You don't have to stay in the rubble. You don't have to stay in the pit. You don't have to walk around with your head down, discouraged and defeated. I encourage you to set those monkeys free. Take down the circus tents. Walk away from it. You don't have to keep those monkeys. They're only hanging around you because you keep feeding them. You feed them, they'll never leave. You cut off their food supply, they'll find someone else to climb around on and make miserable. Get rid of your monkeys. Because God's mercy is here. His arms are open wide, and He's inviting you and I to a place of restoration, a place of healing, and a place of renewal. And so this morning, as the worship team makes their way up to the stage, I just want to talk straight with you, because some of you guys here have been running on empty. And sometimes we look for answers in the wrong places. And maybe today you just need to realize, I need to look up. You need to trust God. And maybe for the first time, or maybe it's all over again. I don't know. Maybe you've never put your faith totally in Jesus. You're glad to be cleansed. You're glad to be forgiven of your sins. And you're clean. And you're a Christian. And you're a believer. You're going to heaven. But you really haven't placed your trust in Him that much. I mean, He's standing there with His arms wide, ready to take your burdens and to give you and I peace. Now, that's all He wants to do. He doesn't want to lay a load down on you that you can't carry. And if you already know Jesus, but maybe you've been just trying to make it on your own too much, saying, no, Jesus, I got this one. There's other people that need you worse than me. I got this one, Jesus. Let this be the moment you stop. You take a breath and you lift your eyes back to Him. And so that's why I'm just inviting you to take a step. If you want to commit your life to Christ, if you've never done that before, come forward. We'll pray with you about it. Or you can stay in your seat, whichever you choose. But if you need God's strength for the road ahead, I would encourage you to step out in faith. If you've been carrying your burdens that are too heavy to bear, just lay them up here at the altar and leave them here. Leave your monkeys up here. They'll scatter. Whatever it is, it just doesn't have to control you. And it certainly doesn't have to define who you are to where people avoid you because you're a walking circus. Get rid of those things. God's calling you. Are you ready to answer? If you are, step forward. If not, then that's fine. Keep praying for others. Lift up your eyes and He will meet you where you are. Because this morning is your moment to let God meet you where you are. To come as you are. Lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your heart. Lay down your hurt. Come as you are. As our prayer counselors make their way forward, I would encourage you to make a bold move. Just bring Him your overanalyzing and overthinking self. Bring that to Him as an offering of total abandonment and trust, and let the power of the Holy Spirit fill you completely and to comfort you. That's why He's called the Great Comforter. To fix your eyes upon Him and just to feel the Spirit washing away your debris your doubts and your frustration, as you release that overanalyzing, overthinking that you're doing that's making yourself crazy, and release that and let the Holy Spirit fill your life full of peace. Let Him wash away all of that stuff. The carpenters are at work as God begins to pour out His mercy, giving you and I the strength to look up to the future that He has for you and I. Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You today, and we lift up our hearts to You, knowing that You are the only one who can rebuild, who can restore, and who can renew our lives. So this morning, we surrender every situation, every burden, every fear to You, and we ask for Your mercy just to cover us through the Holy Spirit, for Your grace is what strengthens us, and for the Holy Spirit just to completely fill us up and reside in us fully with the peace that surpasses all understanding. He is the great comforter, and we ask You to come today. Our brokenness is not the end, Father. And You know that. Your carpenter is at work, and even now, what the enemy has tried to scatter in our life, You will rebuild it. So we claim victory in Jesus' name. We claim restoration this morning. We claim hope, and we claim a future that is brighter than we can ever imagine, and it's going to be worth the wait of those carpenters. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the church said, amen and amen. Let's all stand, and as you do, take a step of faith. A step of faith that says, God, I'm lifting up my eyes. I'm not staying in that brokenness. I'm trusting You to rebuild what's been scattered. And as you come forward, know that you are not alone in doing this, because God is with you, and God's going to do what only You can do. So as we sing out to Him with our full hearts, you follow the Spirit's prompting as we sing this morning, Come As You Are. Where you are today, no matter how broken you feel, it's not over. God is at work in your life. His mercy is greater than your mistakes, than my mistakes, and His power is greater than any obstacle that you or I are facing. So lift up your eyes, because help is on the way. Restoration is here, and your future is bright through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time we've had here this morning, and we ask that all glory and honor come back to You, Father. And as we leave this place today, we ask that You would fill us with Your joy in our hearts, and we ask that You would help us to walk in peace as we begin to focus on Jesus. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your forgiveness that You freely give us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all, church. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you here Wednesday night.